Welcome to NGA Art Talk, a monthly podcast offering you deeper understanding of all things artistic, including talks with artists, curators, conservators, and collectors. Dorothy and Herbert Vogel have amassed one of the greatest collections of minimal, conceptual, and post-minimal art in the world, acquiring works by some of the most important contemporary artists of our time, including Christo and Jean-Claude, Sol LeWitt, Richard Tuttle, and Pat Steer. Curator of Special Projects in Modern Art, Ruth Fine, spoke with the Vogels shortly after they announced the Dorothy and Herbert Vogel Collection, 50 Works for 50 States Project, which will distribute their vast collection across the country for all to enjoy. In the final part of this three-part podcast, the Vogels discuss the project and the impact they hope it will have on the arts nationwide.
When the Vogel Collection was brought to Washington in 1990, I think all of us realized that there were 2,000 works in the collection. That was much too much to eventually remain in one institution.
Yes.
So we were all together working to arrive at a way to eventually house the collection in its entirety in our museum and in other museums. And in fact, now, 15 years later, more than 15 years later, the collection actually has doubled in size.
Well, I think Jack Cowart tells it very interestingly that he cleared the apartment for us. He thought he was giving us the living room back, but then we went and started putting things back in the living room, much to his shock. And I don't know if to the Dud of the National Gallery that we got more work, but we had enough space that we can buy more work. And we continued to operate like we always did. We live on my pension and spend Herbie's pension on the art. And so we continued to add. And at those days, we were young enough to keep going to galleries and artist studios. Now we can't anymore. So the National Gallery should be grateful we're not buying much more anymore. So it's not going to add too much more from now on. But we always wanted to maintain our relationship to the artists whose work we already had in depth. So we were delighted to get another Richard Tuttle or Edgar Renouf, Robert Mangold, Sol LeWitt.
Pat Steer.
Pat, yes. And then we were lucky enough to get a lot of Richard Tuttle's at one point. He was moving his studio, and he had a lot of work he was going to throw out. And Herbie rescued them, beautiful works. And I think that's why the numbers were enhanced so drastically from what was announced before to able to get to the point of 4,000. It was because a lot of Richard Tuttle's. We continue to send shipments to the National Gallery, so that's why the numbers grew so rapidly. And we always knew that the National Gallery wasn't going to take the whole collection. From the very beginning, we knew that. And it always worried me what we were going to do with the rest. It was something in the back of my mind. It's a responsibility that we had, that we knew, and when the solution came about the 50-50, it was brilliant because we were able to, in that sense, I think, keep the collection together and not break it apart, because this is one umbrella of the 50 works is brought together by a catalog and a website, and it will always be the Vogel Collection. It will not be broken up into another collection under another identity, and that forever will be grateful that we can do that.
Well, I think we need to explain a little bit the idea of the Dorothy and Herbert Vogel Collection, 50 Works for 50 States, really is the notion that what you are doing now is placing 50 works from your collection in one museum in each of the 50 United States. And the effort really has been to make each of these gifts of 50 works to act as a kind of microcosm of the Vogel Collection.
Yes. I think that keeping it for 50 states shows the intention of keeping it for the whole American people, for the whole United States. It isn't just the National Gallery, which is the museum for the country. It's each individual state has a part of it, and it encompasses the whole United States individually and then together as a whole in the whole project. I like the idea because, as I said, we work for the government, and we're giving it back to the government.
And one of the interesting things is that there are certain artists whose work will be represented in every collection in every state. Richard Tuttle is one of them. Robert Barry is another of them. Charlie Clough and Richard Francisco, I believe, are all going to have their work represented in every state. So this is very exciting for the artists as well, I think. Have the artists given you any feedback on this idea now that they've learned about it?
I think that Edda Renouf is so delighted and Charlie Clough is delighted that their works are going to be in every package. I didn't know that that was true of the other people as well, because I haven't studied the lists yet. But I do know that for Edda and Charlie, they're thrilled. A big thing about this project is that at least one time, all the work will be shown, whereas many cases, the work is sent to a museum and they accept it, but they don't show it. So in this project, the stipulation is that the museum has to show it at least once within the first 5 years in its entirety and then use it whenever they want. But they have to show it at least once. And then also the other stipulation is they cannot sell it. If for some reason an institution goes out of business, they have to give the whole package to another institution, hopefully in that state, to keep the integrity of the project.
Which is a great idea as well. And of course, along with your gifts, the National Endowment for the Arts is working with the National Gallery to produce a catalog for the collection, and the Institute of Museum and Library Services is working with you on developing a website.
And also they're doing all the packaging and shipping, which is a real gift to the nation that all these government agencies are participating using our collection as the basis. It's very gratifying to know this is being done. I don't know if any other collection has this privilege. We do know about the Crest Collection, which is sort of similar in that it's in many different cities throughout the United States, but not in every 50. And like the Crest Collection, ours is a lot of work at the National Gallery. But unlike the Crest, as I said, it's in all the states. The Crest, I think, were in cities where they had stores. So obviously they weren't in every city.
And of course, that's an old master collection,
yes.
And your collection is a very cutting-edge modern collection.
Yeah.
Have your tastes changed very much over the years, Herbie?
No, not really.
Well, you've collected artists over several generations. The oldest of them, I think, at this point would be Will Barnett, who's still alive and working in his 90s.
He's around 97.
And then you have several much, much younger artists.
Yes.
But we're not looking for younger artists anymore. I think the youngest artist is like 50. Like James Sienna, I think, is around 50. Mm-hmm.
And he's someone who you only recently acquired.
Like last two or three years. He is not part of this project since all the work we have are in our apartment.
Right. You still do have a lot of art in your apartment.
We still have some. And it was my feeling that perhaps some of the museums that are getting some of these gifts, we can add on later to what they hold from our collection and give them other works as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we will already establish a relationship to these museums, and we hope maybe we can continue, like we've continued to give to the National Gallery on a periodic basis, but we may be able to continue giving to these 50 museums as well, to some of them.
You've worked together now for well over 40 years, and so you have a love affair with each other in building your collection and a love affair with the artists that is a kind of ongoing family for you. Could you talk a little bit about how that all has formed the basis for your lives?
Our collecting was something that we did together, and I saw it as a joint project, although I have to admit that in many cases Herbie bought work without me. When he retired and I was working, he would go to a lot of artist studios and buy work and bring them home. And sometimes he didn't open them up. And I didn't see some things for the first time till they were brought to the National Gallery. But it's a project that we did together. And I really don't like going to galleries by myself or museums by myself. I enjoy going with him. And since he cannot travel very easily anymore, we sort of stopped going to galleries and museums pretty much. Because it's something we did together. I didn't do it by myself. He didn't do it by himself. Although before I met him, he did go to galleries and museums, but he didn't build up a collection without me. Right. But it's something that we did together. It's a joint project. I think he would have probably bought art without me. Without him, I certainly would not have. I think he gained some understanding of the work through me, through my eyes, because I was able to interpret some things better than he. I did not have an art background, so I looked at things freshly, and I did not have a lot of art history that cluttered up my mind, whereas he had the art history. So we brought together, his was the background, mine was the fresh eyes. I think that I helped support his ideas, and we did it together. We would not have had a collection if it weren't the two of us together. But I have to admit, he was the one that really was the more aggressive and the one the most interested. I had other interests as well, but his was only on art. I mean, I like to go to the theater and I read and whatever, but his was only interest. He was not interested in any other subject except animals. He loves animals and he loves nature. But it was really Herbie's vision of art that brought the collection to fruition, and it was my support of it and working together that we were able to do this collection.
Herbie, I've often wondered, you grew up in a family where art wasn't particularly important, and yet as a very young man, it became very important to you. Do you have a sense of what brought you to art in the first place?
Art itself.
When did you first start looking?
Well, I don't remember precisely, but it was pretty early, maybe in the 50s.
Going to museums?
Yes, and living nearby in museums, too. I mean, the Met's only a few blocks away from where we live, and I would go there, and I would go to the Frick, and the Frick gave very many good lectures, and I must admit that I learned a lot from some of these lectures at the Frick and Metropolitan. And then I took courses at NYU in art and built up an art art knowledge.
And you came to know a number of artists as well.
Yes, yes. But those were new artists.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they were very new. Now they're very old.
Some of the masters, as I
recall.
Yeah,
right, right. Well, some of them. But it was a very fascinating period for me. And I didn't realize at the time how fascinating it is, because now that I could look back, it's more fascinating now than when I did it. I just did it because I did it. But now I look at it because it's history, or art history, and I love art history. I studied it with some of the best. Panofsky, Friedlander, I mean, these are two people that I could remember being on the top of the art history world at the time, and I don't think that we exceeded them. They stood out then, and I think even now.
Well, they stand out now, but in your own way, you also have made art history, don't
well,
you think?
Well, thank you.
Well, it's very gratifying to what we did. I think I'm just as surprised as everybody else because we didn't set out to do what we did. We just did it.
As we went along.
Yeah. We played it by ear.
Well, Dorothy and Herbert Vogel, I want to thank you very much for joining us here at the National Gallery of Art.
Thank you.
It is our pleasure.
You've been listening to NGA Art Talk. Check back on the first Tuesday of each month for new podcast episodes.